Everyone, my name's Steve Milley. I'm an elder here at Crossroads, and I just want to wish you a good afternoon here, and certainly please feel welcome to today's installation. We're here to celebrate God's faithfulness in calling Bill to serve as senior pastor here, and we are truly blessed to be saying that. We're here to give thanks. We're here to promise our support of him. And most importantly, we're here to pray. So please join me as we do that. Heavenly Father, this very moment, we just are so thankful for you leading Bill to us. It is for sure that we looked, we searched. We should have known that you'd do that for us. We ask that in the weeks and years of uncertainty that lie ahead, Father, that the anointing from the Holy Spirit touch on Bill's shoulder from this very service on. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Afternoon. I'm Tim Jang. I'm one of the worship leaders here at Crossroads. And if you were here on a Wednesday night at the Well, in the small group meetings, you'd probably see me and Vinny up here doing this exact same thing, leading some songs before I get started. So if you could all stand up, please. Let's sing a song together.
I'm Vinny Capetta. I'm the associate pastor here, and I am excited for this day because I had no one to associate with for a while as the associate pastor. And so Bruce, our former pastor, was very excited for this day as well, and he was upset that he wasn't able to get a flight from Africa to be here with us tonight. So we planned this great plan to use Skype. Of course, new technology. We could see him on the screen. He wouldn't really be able to see us, but we would be able to kind of converse with him tonight. But in Africa, they don't have really great internet service, as you can imagine. So we were going to plan B, and he used another technology, YouTube, to put up a video for us. And we're going to show that to you right now. So let's run that.
The Hanlon family. Greetings from Africa. We're really excited to be part of this special day for Bill and his family and the church, and we're just so excited for you guys. We want to thank you for all your prayers and your support and your letters. They've meant so much, and we're just really thrilled for you, and we're praying for you, and know that we love you, and are just really excited for this momentous occasion for the church.
Yeah, this is from our front porch here in Lilongwe, Malawi, and we are just thrilled that the elders okayed this idea to just share just a couple of minutes in your special day together in this installation service for you, Bill, and for your family. We're super excited for you and for the Crossroads family as a whole, and we just want to show you our support by saying just a couple of things. Number one, to the church congregation, our spiritual family that we've known and cherished for so long, that we are so expectant, to use a Jim Lombardi word, for the months and years ahead, for what God is going to be doing in and through you all there, under the new leadership now of Bill and the elders. And we just would just encourage you with Philippians chapter 3, it says, press on towards the goal. Just keep doing what God is calling you to do. Be faithful to Him first and foremost, and to one another. Be united, and just be united and be excited for what it is that God's going to be doing through you. And secondly, to Bill and to Beth, first of all, welcome to the Crossroads family. You've already, I'm sure, been welcomed very graciously. It's such a wonderful congregation. They are a real blessed group, and they are so near and dear to our hearts. And I'm sure you've already found out much of what I'm telling you. But my encouragement to you, Bill, would just be to stay close to Jesus, to let your leadership be first and foremost followership of Jesus Christ, and that His work in your life would overflow and would be the product of great ministry for the church as you seek Him and follow Him first. It's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful church. We are blessed to be part of the extended Crossroads family serving here in Malawi, Africa. And we're all part of the same mission, though, calling people to relationships in Jesus Christ, and to grow in those relationships and to be used for the building of His kingdom here. So we love you all. We're thankful for God's work among you, and we're thankful to be just a small part of this day. This historic day, and we are just so excited for the months and years ahead of just great ministry opportunity that you all have. We love you. We miss you. We love your emails. Thank you for keeping in touch with us, and we look forward to hearing more from you all real soon. Bye from the Hanlons.
All right, we've asked Bob Fulton, one of the longtime members here, one of the founders of our church, who's been here for the calling of every senior pastor that we've ever had, even though there's only been a few of those. He's going to come and address us.
I'm supposed to say something about past, present, and future. Well, let's see. Past. When did this church start? Well, it started with a Bible study in 1957. In 1959... we started meeting at the Village Hall down at the Green in Framingham Center. And at that time when we met, it was Easter Sunday. There were 30 of us. So the Bible study, there were seven couples. That would make 14. something about what you were saying this morning. It started with small and then, right? So we met at the Village Hall in 1959. And then this building was erected and dedicated in 1962. And our first pastor wanted to stay for quite a while. He was here 27 years. And then the next one that came was a missionary, had been a missionary in Africa. For some reason or other, we have some affinity to Africa. And he was here for 11 years, Mark Fossager. And Mark now is with International Teams out in Chicago. And then following him was the gentleman you just saw on the screen, Bruce, stayed here for 11 years as well. And lo and behold, we now have a new pastor by the name of Bill. And we hope he stays at least 11. We're hoping that the Lord doesn't take him away from us. Looking to the future, we're looking for continued growth, not just numerically, but each one of us need to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a challenge for each of us to grow as this church grows, that we can encourage and disciple others as they come. So the past is long gone. The present is right now with Bill here and what God is going to do through and with Bill here at this church. And we look to the future that God will continue to bless us and that we'll see many people come and grow in their relationship with God. Thank you.
I'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. The context here is the Apostle Paul is giving a charge to Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This time I will introduce Reverend Stan Vanderclay. Pastor Bill asked Reverend Stan Vanderclay to come and offer the charge to Bill as he begins his ministry here at Crossroads. Pastor Stan and Bill worked side by side at Pleasant Street Christian Reformed Church in Whitensville from 2005 through September of this year. During that time, they mentored youth, led intergenerational Bible studies, threw Christmas parties for kids in lockup, and ventured on several missions trips together. They have also served side by side as elders and co-interim pastors. Before coming to Whitensville in 2000, Stan founded and served as the pastor of Northside Community Chapel in Paterson, New Jersey for 36 years. He is also pastor in Baldwinsville, New York. Bill considers Stan one of the most energetic and inspiring co-laborers in Christ he's ever had the pleasure of working with. For over 6 years, both Stan and his wife Barb have been partners, mentors, and friends to Bill and Beth. Please join me in welcoming Reverend Stan Vanderclay.
Thank you so much. Can't tell you how delighted I am to be here. Bill, I want to thank you for inviting me to do this. So grateful I get to do this. Bill and Beth, so good to see you. After the time you've been gone, we've missed you, and we're really, really charged that you are here to serve God in a brand new venture. We sense God's call upon you, and we're tremendously grateful for it. The day of your farewell, Bill, struck me. In fact, as I thought about it that evening and in the next few days, it really struck me how much Pleasant Street Christian Reformed Church had matured in reaching out with the love of God to other people during the 6 years of your ministry among us. You said as much in your sermon that last Sunday you were there. You cited example after example of people putting themselves out to serve God and to do it with joy and with outreach. I heard it in the testimonies, the many testimonies of youth and adults during that potluck dinner afterwards, who said quite eloquently and quite truly how much you had meant to them and how your ministry had been used by God to change their lives. I sensed it also in the deeper fervor in our worship at Pleasant Street that I've noticed, particularly in the last half year or so. What you did not say, of course, what you did not say was that you had been a very significant part of it. What you highlighted instead, and that I'm sure is what God wanted you to highlight, was how all of us had worked together with the power of the Holy Spirit, following Christ together, and what a great experience it was. Now, 8 weeks later, just having heard that quintessential description of what a pastor should be from 2 Timothy 4, I'm struck again that it has been my privilege to witness your growth in every dimension of what a pastor should be and do as he discharges all the duties of his ministry. So, I ask myself, what shall I lay on you today? Nothing, I think, that you don't already know. Probably the best I can do is say a few things which are still on my learning curve. And maybe that will be helpful. Maybe I would start out with a question. And the question is this: what does it take to grow into this awesome charge of Paul to Timothy, which today is God's charge to you? From what power to preach the word without either blunting its sharp edge, because there always are people who have itching ears, or to lose its comforting encouragement? How do you always combine the both? What will provide you with the patience to endure hardship? What will supply the serenity to keep your head in all situations? How do you maintain the motivation to do both the searching and the delicate work of an evangelist? And through it all, how do you keep the perspective of where it's all going? How do you stay aware that you're helping to build the kingdom of God? How can you continue on your clearer days to catch a far-off glimpse or two of the New Jerusalem? Well, Paul said to Timothy, keep all of this in mind in view of his kingdom and his appearing. I want you to do these things. How do you pull it off? I think this question has a very simple answer put in Very simple words from the disciple that Jesus loved. God is love, he said. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. First letter of John, 4th chapter, 16th verse. Let me put it this way. I am convinced that the pastor's number one job is to love. Love God and love your people. You know you can't do one without the other. You know also that if you don't do both, you won't do either. Love your people. Exemplify what that New Testament Greek word agape means. After the New Testament stretched that word from its ancient Greek meaning, pour new content into it. You know what it is. Give yourself to and for the people whom you serve. Be a model of giving and forgiving. Know when to apply that self-giving in tender understanding, but also in tough implacableness when necessary. And I've seen you do both. All of us are bent out of shape through our sin. But as Paul said to the Romans, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. In your love, both tough and tender, always sprinkle it liberally with the kindness of God. Exemplify reciprocity. What I mean is be able to humbly receive as well as selflessly give. I think we show the gospel best when we're transparent about our own imperfections. I've seen you do that too. In fact, you told us that last Sunday. When I came, I was a communicator. I still had to become a pastor. Thank you for helping me become a pastor, you said. Reciprocity is the multiplying magic of love. And that's why I think it breaks down all the sociological barriers, all the kinds of walls that we are so good at constructing between each other. Whether they be ethnic walls or economic walls or gender walls or educational or cultural or even intergenerational walls, right from the get. You preach to us intergenerational ministry as our associate pastor of youth. You not only preached it, we saw you practice it and we saw you train in it, and so we all became the beneficiaries. And maybe, just maybe, you and I were kind of an example of that. 6 years ago, when you showed up on our scene, I had recently turned 70, and you weren't yet quite 25, if I've got it right. And yet, as iron sharpens iron comes to mind, we blessed each other, and God was in it all. If your people know that you love them, they'll love you even more. They'll tolerate your shortcomings. They'll be patient with your peccadilloes. They'll follow your leadership. And they'll not hesitate to exercise their own leadership when every once in a while somebody's wisdom informs your own. Reciprocity. And all of this, if job number one is love your people, that's because the most basic job number one is love your God. It strikes me that these words from the disciple Jesus loved would really basically mean the same thing if you turn them end to end. Only be a little bit different emphasis. John said, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Well, try this on for size. Whoever lives in God and lives in him lives in love, for God is love. John had already, just a few verses before, of course, already put it that way when he said, interestingly enough, and humiliatingly enough, this is love, not that we love God, but that he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. That's the bottom line, Bill. What I'm trying to say is, keep practicing, you and Beth together, what it means to live with God. Make time for God. Your schedule's never too busy for that. Make space for God. Present your people to God, both your petitions for them and your thanks for them. Listen to God. Take the time when you're talking to him to shut up for a little while and listen. Then you'll recognize the interruptions of God, which sometimes come at the most inconvenient times. But then you'll also discern some of the surprises of God in the most unexpected times and from maybe the most unexpected people. You have become a pastor, and already a good one. You are ready to pastor this church. And so, I charge you, Pastor Bill, love God, grow in the love of God, because he first loved you. Offer your emptiness every day so that you can be blessed with his fullness. Love your family. Love your congregation. Love your community. Love all those God puts within your scope. Then you will discharge all the duties of your ministry. Bill, I know God will bless you in doing that. Every once in a while, we'll have a chance to touch base, find out how it's going.
Good afternoon. I'm Alexis Rivera Gonzalez, and Bill and I are going to be reading the vows that Bill's accepting towards the church. Feels better if I read them. Do you believe that in the call of this congregation, God Himself is calling you to shepherd His people at Crossroads Community Church? Do you believe that the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God, the perfect revelation of who He is and what He's done for us, and how we are to live for Him? And do you promise to teach and preach God's Word accurately, clearly, and creatively? Do you promise to pray diligently for your brothers and sisters here, for the lost in our community, and for the work of the Holy Spirit in and through this body? Do you promise to function under the accountability and co-leadership of the full board of elders at Crossroads Community Church? And finally, do you promise to tend to your own soul so that every aspect of your life, father, husband, son, brother, friend, might become a parable of Jesus and your ministry filled with the aroma of Christ?
like to call the rest of the elders up here. And I'd like to ask all of you to stand. Those of you who are part of our congregation and those of you who aren't, you're here as witnesses this day. And all of us have some responsibilities toward Bill and his family. And so I will read a few sentences and then I'll prompt you to enthusiastically say together, "We do." Do you trust that Pastor Bill has been called by God to serve as our lead pastor? Do you promise to pray for, encourage, and support Bill and his family? If so, say, "We do."
We do.
Do you promise to work alongside him in the kingdom of our dear Lord? Do you promise to respect his authority as an elder and a shepherd among us? Do you promise to strive with all your might to preserve the unity of the church for the sake of Christ's reputation in the world? If so, say, "We do."
Yeah.
And one for elders. Will you join with Bill and follow his leadership as you shepherd the church together? If so, say, "We will." We will. So I'm going to ask you all to sit down. And the elders can stay here. We're going to pray for Bill, lay hands on him. And we can't all do that because there's so many of us here. But I'm going to ask Bob Taylor to come. This is Beth's father and Bill's father-in-law. And he's going to lead us in prayer this afternoon.
Thank you for inviting me to take part in this very special day, Bill, and all of you. Will you be in a spirit of prayer with me, please? Lord, first of all, we acknowledge that you are our God, our Creator, our Lord, and our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you have poured your love out upon us in so many, many ways. We thank you, Lord, that you have called people beginning way back as far as we have recorded in the Old Testament, Abram, David, Ruth, Esther, both men and women, to follow your leading, to do your bidding, to do your ministry. And then, of course, in the New Testament, the disciples, the apostles, called by Jesus. And today it's Bill's turn, in a sense, as we have come together today and heard this affirmation of his calling, the charge to him, to the congregation. And now, Lord, we ask for your special blessing upon him as he begins his ministry here at Crossroads. Lord, there will be times of joy, times of sorrow, times of struggle, times of victory. But in all of those things, Lord, you will be here, and we pray your blessing upon him. We pray for this church, for their support, for their ministry, for the way you will lead them. And Lord, we pray for Bill's family, for Beth, Brennan, and Evie, as they all participate in this church and in this ministry that you have called them to. And now, Lord, we give you all the praise and thanks for all that you have done and all that you will do. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I know all the Patriots fans will be relieved to know that everything I have to say fits on one side of one piece of paper. This is a humbling day because I I look out at people who in the short term and in the long term have been a huge means of grace in my life from God, starting with my parents. And I see a congregation that I've known for just 5 or 6 weeks that I love and that I'm already convinced I don't deserve. So this is a great day. I will never get over the fact that God wants anything to do with me. Never mind that He would use me to accomplish His will, and much less that He would entrust me with part of His family. So this is deeply humbling and sobering and joy-producing all at once. People have asked me, how did you end up at Crossroads? And the short answer is that there was an earthquake in Haiti. As a result of that earthquake, I met a number of you. And a few months later, I received a call from the search committee asking if I'd throw my name into the hat. I did. And a few weeks later, I got a call saying, no thanks, we've decided to move on to other people. So earlier in 2011, I picked up a new batch of candidates to consider. But I wasn't in that batch. And then in the spring, you looked at a third batch. Doggone it, I wasn't in that batch either. My ego wants to say that my resume got lost. But my faith knows that God's timing was perfect. And in those extra months of waiting, God accomplished some important things in my life and bore some extra fruit in my ministry in Whitensville, provided me with a successor there. And, you know, the house we bought, the price was dropped $30,000 in August. So. But God is good, and His timing is perfect, and He knows exactly what we need when we need it. And that's true on an individual level, and it's true on a corporate level. God knows exactly what our church needs, and He loves our church more than any of us ever could. How cool is that? A couple of passages have been ringing in my ears in the past couple of weeks as I've prepared for this time. One is found in Acts 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. And Jesus, probably the last 10 days of His life, I am the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. Jesus paid for your lives with His blood. The reason that Crossroads Community Church exists is because Jesus laid down His life for you. Crossroads Community Church cost God His only Son. And then God entrusted you to me. One of my best friends in college and seminary, James, used to say, we're all interims. Nobody wants to hear me say that. Especially today, but I'm just an interim pastor. I'm just holding down the fort for a little while until Jesus comes back. Because it's His church. And He bought it with His precious blood. And because it belongs to Him, I will cherish it and serve it to the best of my ability. God helping me. Please pray for me. Please pray for wisdom. Please pray for my own relationship with Jesus. and pray for my ability to love as Jesus loves. I need those prayers. Please pray for me. This morning we mentioned how Jesus pulled Peter aside and said, "On this rock I will build my church." And I think Jesus really meant that. But of course, Peter was resting on the shoulders of a giant himself, right? And Jesus was his rock. And he's our rock. He's the anchor that holds our souls, that holds this family together, that holds the expanses of the universe together. So that's how I wanted to close the service today, is by singing, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." So let's do that.
Before we go, I do want to have it said pretty clearly, although Bill's story is true of how he was chosen in the times between, the elders of this church are convinced unanimously and deeply that Bill was the man that God had in mind all along, and we are so excited to have him over every other individual we saw the whole time. And I just want to say that very clearly, because his story is true and it makes us laugh, but I want it to be clearly stated. We are convinced of what God has done, and I want you to know it, all right? Please join us for some celebration of what God has done, and celebrate with Bill and with us tonight downstairs. Just go down the steps, and we'll have some refreshments there. Let's pray.
God, we began in gratitude, and we're going to end in gratitude. Thank you so much. We thank you that you're, what you've done that deserves our thanks isn't something just in the past. It's for the future. You did send Christ to save us. You established the church in which we could grow and build up strength and reach others. You called this particular church. You brought Bill here. And you intend to continue to glorify Jesus Christ here. There are some things that are continuing the same. We thank you for those. There are some things that are new and different, and that's intentional. You intend that as well. Thank you for all that you're going to do here in Bill and each one of us and every person who hears the challenges and responds in a whole congregation that includes Bill. Thank you that Jesus is the one, our hero, our Savior, our friend, our King, our brother. Jesus is going to be lifted up by all that's done here. We worship you. We're so grateful. Be with us now and enjoy our celebration as we celebrate together downstairs. May grace be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.